The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies
from the 90s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
Hey, blockheads. Welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, movie podcast countdown, the biggest hit movies of the 1990s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz. So what you're about to hear was the Zoom recording of the conversation that we had to record this particular podcast. Unfortunately, the actual audio recording that we would normally use, well, that poor son of a bitch got lost in the ether of the internet sea, never to be seen from again, probably off banging on some coconuts somewhere, talking to a volleyball, trying to deliver a FedEx package. The point is, we had a bunch of technical problems, and so unfortunately, we not able to deliver the usual high standard, or at least high-ish audio standard that we try and maintain. We decided to go ahead and release the episode anyways. But certainly, if this is your first episode listening to the Blockbuster Nostalgia Podcast, don't. Turn this shit off. Listen to one of our other episodes. We got a lot of good ones. They usually sound more like this and less like, well, you'll see. However, for our longtime fans, I hope you'll enjoy our various thoughts and jokes and bad impressions about the 90s hit rom-com Notting Hill. We also had a special guest on this podcast, which is probably the big reason we're going to go ahead and release it, just because we needed you to hear her thoughts on the movie as well, and not just your usual two knuckleheads here. The next episode after this is going to be Double Jeopardy, which we've already recorded, and I'm happy to report sounds good. Sounds normal. So nothing to worry about there. Just a one-time blip. One time. Hopefully. So without further ado, thanks for your support, and I hope you enjoy.
The movie where the way to get the hottest girl is to be awkward and blundering and just not very confident at all, which 15-year-old me calls total bullshit on.
The movie where the best way to get out of the friend zone is to be totally understanding, a super nice guy, never get angry, let her cry on your shoulder when her boyfriend treats her like shit, which 15-year-old me calls total bullshit.
The movie where a guy spilling orange juice on your shirt and inviting you to his house to change and clean up leads to them falling in love, which 15-year-old me calls total bullshit.
This is Notting Hill on Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Hey, blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast countdown, the biggest hit movies of the 1990s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
And we are joined by a first-time guest coming to us all the way from Los Angeles, California.
Margot Herrera.
Margot. I'm really glad that we got Margot on. I've been wanting to have her on for a long time.
That's
true. And Sherman for not getting you on here before, but this was a good one to pick. So yes. We're going to be talking about Notting Hill.
Notting Hill. We got a little bit of crap, at least for our last time talking about a romantic comedy that we didn't have a girl on. So I'm glad that you can set us straight on whether or not this movie is total bullshit.
we're not the best at judging romantic comedies, but
because we don't have feelings and we don't know what romance is.
Yeah. So. I mean, I'm not the best. Yeah. Like romantic comedies, because I like the ones where the guy doesn't get the girl.
Yeah,
it's my favorite.
Spoiler alert: should have been this one.
Yeah. So this movie came out in 1999. It made $116,890,000, which is crazy to me that just based on the charm of one Hugh Grant, that this movie made so much fucking money. But good for the movie, because I personally really liked this movie. I thought it was really good, way better than I thought it was going to be. Eric, being a robot person that has no feelings or emotions, did in fact not like it.
That's true on both accounts.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I wasn't 100% with it.
Yeah, so I watched this movie with my girlfriend. Speaking of female perspectives, I definitely want to get into yours. Mm-hmm. But I watched this movie with my girlfriend, and she did not like it. She thought Julia Roberts was a huge cunt. And
I mean, she did say those words.
She used those words.
Exactly. Yeah, I was like,
Not you. You're just paraphrasing.
I'm not even paraphrasing. I'm direct quoting.
Don't put words in her mouth.
Yeah. She's it is funny. Julia Roberts is kind of the bad guy in this movie, which is a really funny thing. Like, if you break the movie up into story structure, and you need a bad guy, it's obviously Julia Roberts.
Which, I mean, realistically, the roles were reversed here. It's like Julia Roberts played the role of the typical male, and right. Then Hugh Grant was the female.
Absolutely. I thought about that too.
The fact that, like, that's how they portray females, you know, like not the Julia Roberts character, but I'm saying like the woman's always like the clingy one and like, oh, look at me, I will fight for you. Like,
right now, this is definitely a reversal. You would usually, I mean, we talked about You Got Mail, owns a crazy bookstore that's very niche.
Yeah, it's really funny that it's so close to you.
Yeah, it's quiet, but a little bit snarky.
He's the famous one. Like, he's rich. Yeah, and like his. Yeah, like, it's really funny. You're right. It's a role reversal. It starts off with some voiceover with some hilarious Hugh Grant voiceover. Hugh Grant spends most of his movie like throwing shade. Like, he really makes fun of a lot of shit, which I thought was really funny. Like, he kind of hates that place where he lives, and he talks a lot of shit about it. So right away, he's like, oh, you know, I live in this place, and I have this house with the blue door, and there's a market where you can find authentic antiques and some not so authentic. And then they show the best fucking thing I've ever seen, which is
the Beavis and Butthead.
It was like a Beavis and Butthead, like stained glass. Like,
yeah, well, as like saints.
As saints, yeah, which is fucking great. And I wish I knew the prop person to this movie, so I could be like, give me those Beavis and Butthead things.
You know, I'm sure that if you search this one thing called the World Wide Web, you can find it in there.
Probably. There is. I suppose so, but, you know, I like to go out of my way to contact prop people from movies.
You want the real one. You want the one they used in the movie.
Yeah.
I want that stamp of approval. Where they put that little authenticity stick. Yeah, exactly. Used in the movie. But, oh, no, before that, though, it starts out with just shots of Julia Roberts being famous.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like Entertainment Tonight footage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back when Entertainment Tonight. It's all real-life footage.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, she's playing herself, right?
Yeah.
I do wish there would have been some Eric Roberts in this. She's going to play herself.
Yeah.
He's just like mooching off of her. Actually, he would have been a good roommate. What's his name? Like Spike or something.
Oh, the weird roommate? Yeah. That would have been funny.
Hugh Grant's life is funny. I think I really like this movie because of the British charm in it. The British stuff was really funny to me. And it was like, oh, yeah, all this, like, it tracks. Like, it's like kind of the same jokes from Shaun of the Dead and stuff. Like, there's a lot of funny, there's a lot of funny British stuff in it.
I actually more or less agree with you on that point. Well, obviously, we're going to go through the plot and do our usual thing. But I did think it was pretty amusing. I mean, Richard Curtis, who wrote this movie, also created Mr. Bean. He also wrote the other romantic comedy classic that is secretly not very romantic, Love Actually.
Oh, okay.
But is also very funny.
Yeah.
Now, again, not romantic. I don't think this guy maybe understands romance, but that hasn't kept him from making some of the most successful romantic movies of all time. So who am I to judge?
Does anybody understand romance?
Good point.
That's a good point.
That's a very good point.
He's like, what's his name? The guy, the Yorgos, you know, the guy that did the lobster and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Yorgos Lanthimos. Like, he doesn't understand romance. He just kind of understands, like, what people told him about romance.
Yeah, he has an alien's understanding.
Yeah, exactly. It's like if you explain it to an alien.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. I like this movie, but it does definitely hit all the beats that you want in like a romantic comedy.
Except for the one where you like the characters and want them to get together.
I really like Hugh Grant a lot.
I like Hugh Grant in this movie up to the point where he doesn't tell her to fuck off.
Yeah, well, I mean, he does tell her to fuck off, so you get like a little bit of it. But Margot, you made a good point. So the roles are reversed, right? Mm-hmm. If this is a standard movie, and the guy's kind of a dick, you think Eric would have been like, "Nah, he's kind of a cool guy."
But I think he would have.
I mean, I would have.
It's expected of a guy.
But yeah, exactly right.
But if this was reversed, there would be at least a couple of scenes of the guy. I mean, I guess there is the one, the like "I'm just a girl" scene, but that's 5 seconds of the movie. I feel like the guy at the end of these movies always has to make some grand gesture, to win her back.
Yeah, but he's so
weird. And Julia Roberts' grand gesture is again like three lines and then leaving.
Yeah, well, because he tells her to leave.
Yeah,
but if it's a guy and he's got a girlfriend that he kept from her and all that stuff, I feel like he would have been like, "Nah, he's fine." Especially if it's like a charming guy. See, so yeah, maybe it's breaking the norm more than you're giving it credit for.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely breaking the norm. Yeah. I just, again,
yeah,
there's also a reason I don't like most standard rom-coms either.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true.
Also, because I'm a heartless monster.
Yeah.
I'm not a heartless monster, and I don't like most romantic comedies.
That's true. You're kind of the only people, because there's, it's especially movies like this where the girl is kind of like a bitch. That I know that girls won't like as much. You know, like 500 Days of Summer is one of those movies.
It's my favorite movie.
Yeah,
one of my favorite movies.
And I love that movie.
The other one is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which again, the female is not like your typical female
character. Yeah,
exactly. That's one of my favorite.
Yeah, that's good, because usually like,
because you hate women. So.
Maybe it's telling at the fact that I have no soul, and therefore I am.
You relate to them.
Yeah.
So we're like, "Oh, look at her breaking hearts. That's who I want to be."
See myself.
And then we picked the correct.
What are you talking about? That's who I am. Not who I want to be.
Like, you really like Julia Roberts? You're like, "She's great in this." He
she
makes
is amazing. Yeah.
He uses them the right amount whenever she needs them. Tucks them away.
That's not okay.
Yeah.
I have a heart still.
Yeah. It definitely is that. It's that old Chris Rock bit about the dick in glass breaking emergencies.
Yeah, that's
why Hugh Grant is in this movie.
Yeah, he is for most of the movie, actually.
But would you really call, but it's true what you said though, would you really call the guy like a dick or something like that just for acting the way that he was acting? So why are we just saying, "Oh, the woman's being a bitch"?
Yeah. I mean, it's true. It's the role reverse, so it's harder maybe
exactly.
for us to write it. But he, if that was the case, if it is the other way around, he would be a dick.
I think people would like be, it, that would be a plot point is but would be him changing.
You would definitely judge the female character way more for staying with him than you judge for staying with her.
Yep. That's what would happen.
Yeah, because that's
and
how
it's
it goes.
So unfair.
Yeah, it is. Because now you're like, "Hugh Grant, he's so nice. You know, he's such a nice guy." You're not like, "Get the fuck out of there, Hugh Grant." Like,
"No, I wasn't like that.
Wrong with you." But you're like, "Nah, that she's a bitch."
Yeah. No, I definitely put the fault is also on Hugh Grant.
No, for sure. He should have walked away. And when he does it, it's actually really good. I think that's my favorite scene, where she like is super vulnerable, and this is skipping ahead, we're gonna get to it, but when she puts herself out there and she's like, "I'm just a girl asking a boy to love her," and he's like, "No, I'm not doing that."
Yeah.
And that was my favorite scene, even though I knew it was gonna come back. You know, I knew
that wasn't the ending.
That wasn't gonna be the ending. Like, I thought it was a really, really good scene.
Okay. It was. And I actually have some cool thoughts about that scene. So,
all right. So let's start at the beginning of this movie. So as you said, Julia Roberts is playing basically Julia Roberts. She's a famous movie star. She's rich. She's traveling the world.
Hugh Grant owns the most ridiculous fucking bookstore.
We thought we couldn't get more ridiculous than You Got Mail's children's bookstore.
How does he have an employee?
How does he have a store? Like, because this movie takes place over what, a year and a half? or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
And he said the very first scene, he's like, "Oh, we lost what was it like $3,000 this month?"
Yeah, we're negative. Yeah, yeah, the negative like 380 pounds or
yeah, or whatever. Like I don't know the you know yeah, the pounds no, to dollars.
No understanding about
he's currency. Losing money every month. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like he's rich. He doesn't have an inheritance. It would seem
no.
It doesn't seem like he's rich at all. But so it's in England, so maybe he just tells like the landlord, like, "Oh, you know." Just so hilariously Britishly befuddled, and I just can't make rent. And the guy was like, "Well,
is Hugh Grant
to kick you out?" And he's like, "I don't think I'm going to leave." And the landlord, he's just got to call the police, and then they have no guns, so
yeah, so they can't do it. It occurs to me,
he just smiles at them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was like, beautiful baby moves.
Yes.
Like, will you really kick me out? I'm like 12 years old. Look at my face.
Yeah. Oh, you.
It occurs to me right now, though, is Hugh Grant just a pretty Woody Allen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, right?
Is he just Woody Allen if Woody Allen was handsome?
Well, Woody Allen's more neurotic than Hugh Grant.
But they still have non-gross. That same, like, I'm nervous and I don't, I'm out of my element.
Yeah. He's not, like, he has no confidence, and there's a crazy amount of charm to that. Also, incredibly good looking, let's not forget.
Yeah, no, he's that's what I'm saying.
He's good looking.
Like, yeah, Woody Allen is not a handsome man. No.
And can I be honest, you guys? And this is going to be totally bad because being a filmmaker, I have never seen a Woody Allen film.
Really? Well,
actually, I feel like
fine.
I just
nowadays, you're not going to get the same blowback you would have gotten 10 years
ago. Yeah.
I don't know why. I always found him really creepy, and I guess my female intuition was correct.
Was correct, exactly.
Very correct. So I was like, I'm not supporting that dude.
No, I mean, we've known that he married his like
that was
his
daughter. Like 20
years ago. Exactly. So you know, like, there was nothing okay with that. But no, you should watch Match Point. It's the best one, I think.
Match Point.
Yeah, all the other ones, all his like. Our comedies and stuff, I never got into them.
Annie Hall is still a really good movie.
Yeah. I mean
his old 70s stuff is still pretty good. And Annie Hall on Manhattan and that one where he goes in the future, I don't remember the name of it. They're all pretty funny, but
the one with he's a robot or something?
Yeah. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, but I don't Match Point is really good. Everything else I never really got into. I don't want to get a lot of blowback also. But like you said, nowadays, it's a good thing.
Nobody's really rooting or going hard after anti-Woody Allen day. So I think we're okay.
One time I posted on a friend of mine's Facebook, and she had posted something about Kubrick. And I was like, I don't know, I've always thought Kubrick was kind of overrated. And then I didn't check my phone for like 2 hours. And when I went back, it was like people were just destroying me.
Was I one of those people? Because I love Kubrick.
And also, like, I didn't say I didn't like Kubrick. I just said I thought he was kind of overrated. But people were like, I was like, what the? I have like 42 notifications. What is this? And then it was just people being like very mad at me for saying that.
Yeah. See, I really liked Stanley Kubrick. And then I went to an exhibit at LACMA. And after that, I really liked him.
Oh, really?
I probably like bashed you or something.
Yeah, you're probably one of the people.
Yeah, go back and check.
Yeah, because it's also like it's a mutual friend that we have. So you absolutely probably.
Oh, I 100% probably. Did
that.
You're one of those 42.
I was like, I'm sorry. I said kinda. I didn't even say like you're fully overrated.
You should have gone hard, man.
I should have
some soft shit.
There was. That's why I just threw it out there. I thought it was kind of funny.
Maybe everyone's overrated.
Ah, see?
Everyone except for us.
Okay. Yeah,
we are firmly underrated.
Hugh Grant has a really funny thing where, like I said, he like throws a lot of shade. He kind of like talks shit about he talks shit about the stuff in his refrigerator at one point.
Yeah.
Like he talks shit about his friends and like his roommate and stuff, which actually the bit with his roommate is pretty funny. Like he's trying to figure out a shirt to wear to a date in the beginning.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah. And he's got like the bloody shirt with the alien coming out of it.
Yeah.
He's got one that just says like come get some or something. It's pointing to his dick.
Yep.
And then the other one that says, I think I'm in love with you.
No, it's
you're no, the you're most the most beautiful woman.
Yeah. Which also not an okay shirt to wear to a date. I think that would be creepy on its own.
Yes. Well, yeah, don't wear a t-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Or some pants too.
Yeah.
He was not wearing pants, I believe.
That's a good start.
Yeah. But then when he turns around on the back, says like, fancy a good shag or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some British way of saying.
No, I think it just says fancy a fuck.
But fancy a fuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I guess is still somewhat British because.
Fancy a fuck.
I don't know if Americans would say fancy that much.
Yeah. We then see that Julia Roberts has walked into his store.
Right.
I mean, she's kind of like out of focus in the background. And Hugh Grant is a terrible fucking store clerk because he doesn't even say hi to her.
Yep.
Like, this is his fucking livelihood, is this store. And a customer walks in and he's just like, glances over and doesn't even say hi. I'm like, I'm doing customer service. But he catches a guy stealing a book. And then he does the most British fucking way of catching a shoplifter, which is like, hey, didn't I just see you put that book down your trousers? He's like, no, I didn't. And he's like, well, we have a camera. And he's like, well, what if I did? And he's like, well, I'm just going to go back over there. And hopefully you take it out of your pants. And that's it. Like, I don't know if you are ever on TikTok and see a loss prevention guy at Macy's fucking tackle a dude down.
I thought they weren't supposed to do that.
I mean, yeah, you're supposed to let him, like, you're supposed to not get stabbed, I guess. But
yeah.
And it's also got to be super satisfying if you're a loss prevention guy to tackle a guy.
Oh, no, for
oh
sure.
My God, yes.
I mean, I got to say, you got to respect that British way of system. Just like, hey, I caught you. All right, you got me. Yeah. What are you going to do? Yeah. Shake on it? Yeah, all right, cool. We're good.
That's how the police are too, man. Right? Well, the police always do that. Like, well, no, that's the Irish cops. Irish cops are like the run along.
Oh, my
yeah, kids will be kids. Are you getting into trouble again? Julia Roberts comes in. He recognizes her, but he plays it really cool, I think, right?
Yeah, he tries to.
He plays it really cool, you know, like, I don't want to make a big deal about it, but he I think he's also, like, doesn't know what to do. Because the guy that tried to steal the book gets her autograph. Then his employee comes back and he's like, I saw Ringo Starr one time, but it could have been the guy from Fiddler on the Roof. And he's like, they don't look like each other. It's really far away, so it could have been either. It's a funny bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then this is where we talk about the opening. He goes out and he spills orange juice all over her shirt.
Yep.
And then he's like, you know, I live right here if you want to come to my place and, like, change. And she looks at those beautiful baby blues and is like, all right, I'll go to your place. This has never not worked out for a famous person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, you don't need to be famous. Don't go into anyone's, like, house.
Yeah.
That's so creepy. Yeah.
It's like, what?
Also, like, how did you get from the store that you were working at to spilling juice on me? Like, creepy. Are you following me?
Yeah, see? See? Good point. Those are things like, it's like being a girl 101.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clearly, he's following her. Clearly, he set
there
this whole thing up.
No way in hell I'm going into your apartment.
Yeah.
Oh. Although, as someone that lives downtown,
how often do I use that?
How often do you? How often do you intentionally spill on a girl? No, I live right there.
I can tell you right now that they'll only go to my apartment if it's a group. It's never like, hey, I live right here. If you want to come over, a girl is never like, oh yeah, me and you, yeah, let's do that. You know, like it's always like, oh no, like we're all going to my apartment. You know,
I mean, you're my friend, and then you invited me to your apartment, and I went, and I was like, ooh, big mistake.
Yeah, immediately.
Yeah, that all sounds right.
Just kidding, I love you.
Immediately, a big mistake. But you know, he finagles it somehow.
Again, he's a handsome man.
He's a handsome man. Also, through the power of just being hilariously befuddled.
Yeah.
He, like, gets a kiss from her and shit.
Which as soon as it happened, I was like, dream sequence.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way this is actually happening.
That would have been funny, actually.
Because it seems like it. Because she's basically being very cold to him this entire time. She's being kind of a cold bitch. And then...
Because she's famous, yeah.
Met a weirdo.
Yeah, fair.
But she's being cold.
Also, she comes out with like a half shirt,
yeah,
like looking very sexy.
Looking very sexy. the sexiest she looks in the whole movie, probably right there.
What if at the end of the movie, like once they get together and then they get, I mean, jumping ahead again, they get married and everything, all that stuff, and they're on that bench, and then it just cuts to like he's imagining the whole thing holding that juice.
That's a better movie.
I would have enjoyed that very much.
She's just like, you fucking idiot. And then she like leaves and just holding the stupid juice.
Paparazzi taking a picture of it.
Yeah. No, but it seems like because she walks out in that sexy outfit, she leaves. He's like, bye. She goes out the door. And then 30 seconds later, knock on the door. She's there, just suddenly kisses him.
Yeah, gives him like a full-on kiss.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I don't know what to do. I'm a awkward British guy. Like, I don't, you know. And then she thanks him and leaves.
Would you do that, Margo? Would you do that if you were a famous actress? Would you just randomly kiss people just to be like, that's going to be a story that he'll tell forever?
Well, Bill Murray does that, right?
Well, Bill Murray does. I don't know if he does kisses.
You can't now.
Well, you can't. But if you're Julia Roberts, you can.
Yeah, that's true. Margo, would you be kissing a beautiful British man?
I mean, if it was a beautiful British guy, then probably.
Yeah. No, but not just one guy. I'm saying like just
the
as
French
a
French are
a
my fun, weakness.
The French?
Okay. Well, would you do it just to like, that person's going to tell that story for the next 30 years?
Just like, if I was as bored as she was, I might.
Yeah. Like, she's not having a good time in England. So, maybe it tracks.
She's in a, this is fast forwarding, but she's in a dead end relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like her whole life, she's just been in front of the cameras, like failed relationships. She's like, have a lot of fun.
He finds out through another funny scene that she called at one point and told the roommate to call her to get a hold of her, but you got to use a fake name. And the roommate can't remember, and he's trying to do it, and it turns out it's Flintstone because she always uses a cartoon character. But the reason she called is to make sure that it was okay that she kissed him, which is actually pretty cool. Like, it's a consent thing. He was like, hey,
yeah. That's not sure. The reason she called.
Yeah. No, but she, even if it's a excuse, because he could have been like, hey, it wasn't okay, and I have a wife or I have a girlfriend. Yeah. And then, you know, like, she still gets to like say, like, I called to make sure that it was all right. But she could also be,
that is, no, that's bullshit.
She didn't, bullshit. No, she didn't have to go that way. She could have just been like, hey, I was that famous chick that kissed you. Do you want to come over? And she could have done that.
We don't know that she didn't.
No, because she tells him, she's like, I was in your place and I kissed you, and I want to make sure that it was okay.
Oh, okay. When he gets there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were talking about the message.
Yeah. No. Yeah. When he gets there. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
But yeah, if you're an actor, you can't. You got to Keanu Reeves it, man. You can't be touching ladies.
Yeah.
You got to be nice to Keanu Reeves. But if you're an actress, you probably get away with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you can.
But realistically, I don't know if that I would, honestly.
If you're like Julia Roberts famous, I don't think you can.
No, you can't.
Tabloids and shit. Like, you can't even tip low. Like, if you don't leave good tips, the tabloids will paint you as a piece of shit. So you have to, like, even always be aware of your persona and stuff, right?
Right.
And that actually turns into, like, a big deal later, which is
for sure.
Yeah. Very accurate.
Yeah.
So he goes to meet her at this event. At the press junket. Yeah. And this scene was hilarious.
This scene is very
Yeah. Like, this is the point where I was like, this movie is way funnier than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
They ask him.
Horse and Hound.
Yeah, Horse and Hound. He shows up. And also when that other dude walks up with him, that's pretty funny, too.
Yeah, that whole sequence
is funny.
Yeah. And they go into this thing and he's like, oh, what magazine are you from? And he looks and he sees a Horse and Hound magazine. So he says Horse and Hound.
Let's not forget that he has powers for her because he thinks it's like a one-on-one meeting.
Yes.
Turns out it's a press junket. What the hell are you doing to me? So that's red flag number one.
Yeah.
Or two.
I assume most of our audience knows what a press junket is, but that is where the star or stars or directors will sit in a hotel room for hours upon hours while various media members come in and ask them the same like 8 questions over and over again.
But then you also get some free shit too, I think, right?
Yeah, usually.
Like flowers. She got flowers.
Yeah.
But he has to run with
the rest of the crew. I mean, cast get that? No.
No, just the star. How often have you gotten free flowers, Margo, instead of all the famous people?
Never.
Never, see?
I was actually kind of surprised. So after he gets brought in to see her for his time as a press person, which is very funny, and asks her questions about horses and hounds.
Yeah, which is also really
for funny. This sci-fi movie that has neither.
Yeah.
Then, you know, she basically apologizes, says, oh, I thought we would be done with this by now, which seems ridiculous because they're right in the middle of it. There's like 30 people in the lobby, but whatever.
Yeah. And he's still there for like 2 hours, yeah. Which is also very funny.
But after he leaves, because at that point, she says she's leaving, right?
Yeah.
Or is this when he invites you to his sister's thing?
She says she's got a thing.
Yeah.
She's got a thing that she's got to go to after, is what she says.
Right. He tells her he talks about his sister's thing. She's leaving. She is busy. And then after he leaves the room, he immediately gets dragged into all the other like actors to do like the whole circuit of interviews.
It was really funny.
It was
my
very
favorite funny. Was the Spanish guy.
Yeah.
That was good.
He just asked him like if he can associate with his like, character, and he's like, no, because he played a flesh-eating robot monster.
That was my favorite. I was like, I love this.
Yeah. It was really funny to just put him in that situation and keep him in that situation.
Yeah. That was a really good touch.
Yeah.
And I wasn't expecting it, so it was really fun. He also interviews a little girl actress.
Yeah.
And it's Misha Barton.
Yeah. Yeah, which is cool.
Kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple of people that I was like, hey, I know that person. Yeah. Like, yeah. She brings him back in, and that's what you're talking about. And then she's like, hey, that thing I was going to do, I don't have to do it anymore. Do you want to do anything tonight? And he's like, oh, it's my sister's birthday. So then she kind of invites herself to the thing, which is cool. I mean, I would 100% jump on that and be like, yes, absolutely, you can be my date.
Yeah.
And then that scene is also very funny where they go to the...
That is a funny
scene. Yeah.
Especially the sit down
when
his one friend that's it's not Wall Street, but he's like a Wall Street guy. And he comes in and he's like, oh, what do you do? Actress, tough business. Can't be making much money at that, huh?
Yeah, yeah. When you get your last gig, and she's like 15
like
million.
15 million.
Which is what she got paid for this movie, right?
Yeah.
But I love the oblivion in him. Like, he's just, everyone's like, does he just not see this? And it was perfect.
Yeah,
he's really funny.
But
I like
to
that
me,
character
it was
a
perfect
lot.
Because I'm that person sometimes.
Yeah, you have like no idea.
I actually have a funny story. Like, I met the singer of Plain White Tees, and or the guitar player. And he's like, oh, yeah, like, I'm in a band. I was like, oh, how cool. Like, where can I find your guys' music? And then, like, no, what was it? It's like, oh, what do you do? And it was just like, the questions did not know who I had with me, like, who I was talking to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then eventually he tells me, I was like, oh, what's like the name of your band so I can like Google it? And then he tells me, and I blurted out this like dumb laugh, and I was like, oh my God. And then he's like, what? I was like, I have like 3 of your CDs in my car right now. He's like, they're all the same CD. But
I have 3 copies of 1 CD.
Yeah. He was probably just blown away that you bought CDs.
Hey, at the time...
At the time when Plain White Tees was still a big band.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right now, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I remember you back in the day.
Yeah. I also, like, I don't know. He's like, it's not like it's like Mick Jagger or something, you know? Like,
yeah.
you can get away with it. Like,
the thing is, it happens all the time. I'd be like, oh, no. Like, and I'd be like, oh, I feel like I know that person and think I know that person. And then it's always like, you don't know them, you idiot. It's just because you've seen them.
Yeah, they're on television.
Yeah. That's why. So I will a lot of the times go up to them and be like, oh my God, I was like, didn't we meet somewhere? They're like, no. I'm like, oh. And then I realize it too late and I'm like, I'm an ass.
Are you thinking of when we met as in you went to a theater and saw me on the screen? Is that the meeting that you're thinking of?
I was like, I'm sure. But the thing is, I always say, I'm like, I'm pretty sure we work together. And I'm like, okay.
I also like that Hugh Grant doesn't know who Leonardo DiCaprio is. Oh, like, that's pretty funny.
Yeah. I like that his first, when she's like, I was working with Leo, and his first guess is Da Vinci. Who has been dead for 400 years.
Yeah. Maybe he was like, he thought she was a painter.
Yeah.
Yeah, then he's like, no, she's like DiCaprio. And I was like, oh, is he your favorite Italian director? Like, it's really funny.
Although it's 99, so.
No, that's 99.
After Titanic, yeah.
99 is like peak DiCaprio. Like, that's why.
I guess it's like teen sex symbol.
Is that Romeo and Juliet times? Or is that?
Yeah, that was Romeo and Juliet times. Because Titanic was 97. I think Romeo and Juliet was 98.
Yeah, so it's like, he was like the. So it's really funny also that he didn't.
Yeah.
But I think what I learned is that British people don't know who famous people are.
Yeah. I mean, although everyone else recognizes her immediately.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. As soon as she walks in, yeah. And then the sister's reaction is really funny. She's like, let's be best friends.
Yeah. And she runs with it in a very charming way.
Yeah.
And then they do this fucking game that is fucking great. I love the game.
She even tries to play. And it's also weird that the girl in the wheelchair doesn't win because her story is by far the saddest.
No, but that's the whole point, is that, like, get out of here with your stupid sad shit. Yeah. Like, it's actually really, really funny.
It is funny. I do like these characters a lot. And I wish, in a way, we don't get enough of them. But in a way, we don't get enough Julia Roberts either. I also read online that the original cut of this movie was over 3 hours long, which is insane to me because I can't imagine that's how long the screenplay was. If you went to a studio in 1999 and said, hey, I have a 3-hour rom-com for you, I can't imagine they would be like, yeah, go ahead and say all yes. 3 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but
not Zack Snyder. Just saying.
Yeah. I also, Zack Snyder should make a rom-com.
Yes.
Like, he definitely should. He should make
He doesn't understand human emotions or how they interact, so
yeah, exactly.
He'd be perfect.
Again, Yorgos Lanthimos, you know, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the movie itself is like 2 hours and 5 minutes, which I was blown away that it was that long.
Yeah.
But also, it's a little bit weirdly structured, I thought. The second act is really weird because there's a hard breakup in the middle of it, kind of, which was interesting.
Well, it has like two of the, because typically the rom-com formula, as I understand it, is that meet, get together, break up, reconcile, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This, it's meet,
twice,
get together, break up, kind of get back together again. Now this time it's for real, then break up again, then maybe, then no. Then hard no, then yes.
It was a roller coaster ride for my emotions.
It was, if I cared at all about any of these characters' happiness, it would have been a roller coaster.
But surprisingly enough, the fact that it was a British comedy and then the characters were a little tame and just like calm, it didn't drive my anxiety up. So it was really good.
Yeah.
Well, and again, I don't
think this is an American film.
I don't think it drove up your anxieties because did you really care if Julia Roberts and him got together? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I was hoping he'd get together with the short-haired girl.
I know. I like her.
Oh, that was Emily Mortimer, right?
Yeah.
That's
she was Mary Poppins or something, right?
Yes, Mary Poppins.
Was she on stage?
No, she was not Mary Poppins. She was in Mary Poppins. Yeah.
She was in the newest Mary Poppins.
Oh, yeah.
She's like the sister or something.
Okay. The little girl basically grown up.
Yeah. But yeah, actually she's credited as Perfect Girl.
Yeah.
Which is funny. Yeah. He probably.
Perfect girl.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. It's supposed to be like, yeah, even the perfect girl for you, if you don't feel it, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
I get it.
They play a fucking game that's great. And what they do is there's one brownie left and whoever is the worst, has the worst story or the biggest sad sack kind of deal, like the shittiest life gets the brownie. So they each take turns trying to convince everybody else that their life fucking sucks. Except actually Hugh Grant. Everybody roasts Hugh Grant.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he doesn't do it himself. Everybody's like, look at you, wasted.
Which I would have liked it better if it was all that. If it was all just taking turns doing roasts.
Yeah, when we do it, we can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And we should.
Yeah, we should. It seems like a fun thing to do.
I want to do that game.
Yeah, it was. Then Julia, this is the first insight into Julia Roberts and what it is for it to be Julia Roberts, where she's like, I've had two surgeries that were terrible. I had every boyfriend I've had has been awful. One of them hit me, which I think it's still Alec Baldwin.
Probably. But she also indicates that she had a nose job. There's no way. There's no way she had a nose job.
Yeah, I mean, that's her. I always thought her nose was her biggest imperfection. I mean, she, yeah, her whole face is huge. She has a huge face. But I'm not a Julia Roberts guy, but I did think she was really pretty in this movie.
At times. I think she's very pretty.
Yeah, like there's it's, this. Sorry.
There was one scene. Sorry, there was one scene where it's like she's just quiet. Oh, it's the black and white movie that they show of hers.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, where she's just like super sad the whole time, and then she just smiles, and I'm like, ah, like that's why you're like pretty woman. That's
yeah,
like,
yeah,
so beautiful. Yeah.
No, I thought she was really pretty. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she takes a shot at like having the worst life or whatever, and then everybody's like, "Nice try," which is also really funny.
Yeah.
Who gets the brownie? I don't even remember. He does. He does. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, his life sucks.
Yeah. I mean, he hemorrhages money in that bookstore.
Yeah, yeah. He's deeply, deeply in debt.
A bookstore yeah. that only sells travel books.
Yeah. I get it. It's like a tourist area, but still.
He also, as soon as Julia Roberts picks up that one book, he's like, oh, that book is terrible. Don't buy that book. Like, if you want, yeah, which is a weird. I was like, why don't you have that book? So, you know?
Yeah.
But
she buys it anyways because
he buys that book.
She is self-absorbed and doesn't listen to anybody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then, you know, they have a good night together.
Yeah.
This isn't when we see Alec Baldwin, right?
No.
It's later. Yeah.
This is the first of several scenes throughout the movie too, where they do that thing where they cut all the sound and they just show people laughing as if having they're saying really funny things,
yeah.
but you never hear the funny things.
It's a fun time montage. Yeah. Maybe that's the extra hour that they cut out.
Maybe
it's just all
the fun time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like when you watch the Guy Ritchie.
King Arthur.
Yeah. Yeah, and they just like there's an hour worth of montage in yep. that thing. Yeah, it was just that. It was all the British comedians like improvised.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I really like the wheelchair girl character.
Yeah, she's great.
Mm-hmm. And he makes a very good point about her later on, but we'll get to that the whole fame thing.
Yeah.
But,
yes.
So then that's when they have a really nice time together, and then she decides to say, I can't remember. This is the part where I go.
Yeah, they have a great time together, and then she decides not to come back to his place because it would be too complicated, right?
Well, because the roommate is there too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's just, it's too complicated. Like, let's just leave it at this.
Yeah.
But then they end up going out again anyways, right? Am I correctly in remembering this, Margo?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to remember. I'm like, they go, I'm trying to like not go forward. Oh my gosh.
But no, yeah. I think that I mean
because I'm thinking of another scene, but I think that's like right before the Alec Baldwin stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's the scene like, I think that happens next is that they go yeah. out and then that's when she invites him back to her place.
Right. So they've had a great time yeah. together. They're clearly yes. jiving. She jives with everybody. I mean, it's really funny, like the whole family thing and everything. And then they have another great time together. This is when they see the bench.
Park. It's the park.
They yeah. go to the park and they see the bench.
So
and it's the sweetest fucking bench ever.
Yes, with the people that are.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like
so. First of all, they do a little light breaking and entering.
Oh yeah, that's true because she's famous.
Yeah.
So who's gonna kick her out?
Right.
So actually, that's actually a really funny scene too, where like they're it's like a gated community that they can't get into, right?
Yeah.
And he's trying to get up there, but he's befuddled British guy. He can't do that. He's yeah. like,
he's a pussy.
Yeah. And he says, what does he say? He says,
he's not, it's not oh bother. It's
he's not Winnie the Pooh.
I mean, isn't he though?
Yeah. Is it daisies? Oopsie daisies.
Oopsie daisies.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
He says, oopsie daisies. And she makes fun of him for that. And then he says it again. And then, but they get in there and then they wander around. And then that's when they find the bench. Right. And it's like, this is dedicated to whatever her name is, and to his name who sat beside her every day or something like that.
Yeah.
And now it's like a famous romantic bench, right? Like they moved it to a spot where you can go and actually take a picture of it.
Again, total bullshit. This movie is not romantic.
You can lay down pregnant on it and he can read a book to you, yeah. which is very romantic.
That part of it is romantic, sure.
The long lost art of reading books.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then
I wonder if people do that now, but they just like they're like, oh, I'll read this book to you, and then they pull out their cell phone, go to Audible,
hit play, slowly back away.
Well, it's, I wonder if it's going to get to a point where you can just like record yourself saying the alphabet and it'll just do your voice.
Oh, just does it automatically?
Yeah, automatically does your voice so people can think that you're
It wouldn't just be the alphabet though. You'd have to do all the like phonetic.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's apparently, I don't know, like a 6-month job or something where you read every word like in the English language. Yeah.
Really?
But you read it in like, weird, like let's say purple cake glitter pixie, and like you just read a sentence like that, and then they basically, that's how they come up with all of it.
Really weird. Mm-hmm. So that's how they do like Siri and all that, all yeah, like sense stuff like that.
That's why anytime you ask them anything, they sound like you said it's okay, because every word is put together.
Yeah, because it's all chopped up. I wish they would have made it like old 1930s radio talk. Or like 1930s movies where like, yeah, save it. Like,
oh, that would have been very funny.
Yeah.
I like, oh, Alexa, do I have any messages? Well, see here, the call from the newspaper. Well, yeah.
That weird movie dialect that didn't exist in real life. It was just like radio dialect carried over into movies.
You got a new package. Get it. Open it up right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Save it right now. Yeah. That'd be awesome. Is there, because you can change the accent, right?
That's true.
You can change it to like Australian or something like that.
Yeah, I believe so. Or you can change from guy to girl or vice versa, right?
Mm-hmm. Mine's a British guy.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Siri. Yeah. My Siri is a British
guy. Is it Hugh Grant?
Yeah.
You're like, hey Siri, what's the weather like? Oh well, I
seem to be hilariously befuddled.
I mean, your eyes.
Yeah. It's, I mean, you see the weather out. I guess.
Just tell me the goddamn weather.
Yeah. A bit cloudy, but not too cloudy, I guess. But you know what? It's too cloudy.
make sure you bring a light sweater for the night. You don't want to get too cold.
That was a 20-minute conversation with Siri about the fucking weather.
I mean, Siri's my only friend nowadays, okay?
Yeah, so. Yeah. I love you, Siri.
I love you too. I mean, my Siri compliments me all the time. Like, I always have my nickname, which is Snow White.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, growing up, I highly believed I was Snow White, so I made everyone call me that. So for Siri, I, like, had my thing, like, a Snow White. So anytime I feel lonely or, you know, ugly, I'm like, Siri, who is the fairest of all? And then it just says, you, my dear, are the fairest of all. And
I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah, you are.
Great.
So I get a boost.
Little ego boost, yeah.
Yes.
That's great. You should. I wonder if you could program it to just randomly give you compliments.
Yeah, randomly give you compliments.
You should be able to.
Yeah.
Like, you know how you do the thing where you're like, I'm home, Siri, and then it turns off out mode or whatever when it's watching your house?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it should also compliment you once it knows you're home. There are some compliments here and there. Like, your ass was banging. Yeah.
I love how different ours are.
Yeah.
Let's repeat that.
Not that I'm beautiful.
And mine is like, your ass looks banging to me.
This is why men and women.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking about like my place and like meeting people. One of the things about living where I live downtown is that I can get very, very drunk and then go home, and I don't have to worry about dicks just flying at me from every direction. Which is, if you're a girl and you're very, very drunk by yourself and walking home, you have to worry about dicks flying at you.
Yep.
Nonstop. So anyway, they have that very romantic thing, and I think that's when it happens, right?
After the bench, that's when she...
He seals the deal.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, he seals the deal in a very, I mean,
cool. Although in a very weird, I've never seen this before, and I would be very suspicious if this happened to me in real life, where she's like, all right, yeah, come up to my hotel room. I'm going to go first.
Give me
you
five
come
minutes.
Along later.
I'm going to say lingerie.
I would, yeah, maybe. But
I'm going to put some lingerie on.
If that was her home, I would get it more, but a hotel room, it's not because you're cleaning, because they have a person for that.
Yeah.
Right.
And you're also, you're rich and famous in a very fancy hotel room. How am I getting in if not with you?
Yeah.
If it's because I'm rich and famous, I'll be like, I'm going to go turn on the camera that I have for safety, just in case I end up dead. They know who did it.
Yeah, that's true.
Fair.
I would say getting rid of assistants.
Yeah,
like I got to get rid of my assistant. So give me like 5 minutes.
Although again, if you're rich, maybe you're like, I got to go tell my assistant to keep an eye out. So
that's
she's
true.
Gonna be in the, she's going to be in the room the whole time. Just ignore her.
And she's in the closet.
We do this.
And she's like, I don't get paid enough for this shit, man. Like, I'm, it would be really funny if that's how the assistant quits. Like, I'm tired of listening to you have sex.
In the middle of the fucking. Yeah. Like, that's it. That's it. So she tells him, all right, give me 5 minutes, then come up to my hotel room. He gets there, opens the door,
and this bitch.
I say do not call her that because you wouldn't be calling the man a bitch the whole time.
I would. I call men bitches all the time. I call him
or
a bitch.
Dick. That's true.
And this dick. How about that? Can we just get we're like
can I just, I'll just say this punch then.
Oh. So then she's like, my boyfriend is here. And I had never seen this movie. And when that happened, I was like, oh.
Yes. I know. I was like, what? Yeah. I was so taken aback.
Yeah, me too. And actually, it was kind of, I was
there,
kind of like,
you can call her a bitch because that was a bitch move.
Yeah, that was a bitch move. That's also one of the points where I was like, all right, maybe not your typical fucking comedy, like rom-com. Like, all right, I get it. And who is the boyfriend?
It is Alec Baldwin in an uncredited appearance, which is awesome. Ooh. It's also a really weird Alec Baldwin because this is post, like, late 80s, early 90s, sexy, suave Alec Baldwin.
Like, the getaway.
But pre, like, 30 Rock, kind of bloated, like the departed character actor Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, he actually kind of looks like one of the other Baldwins.
He does, actually, yes.
Yeah. He looks like the...
Because he looks slightly off. He's not quite... He doesn't look quite like Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
Which all of his other brothers look like kind of a mutated, not quite Alec Baldwin. So that's why...
He was like, how do you want me to look? And they were like, I don't know, Michael Madsen? And he's like, all right. Yeah, I can do Michael Madsen, sure. So he's got an awesome 5 o'clock shadow that I've never seen Alec Baldwin rock. Not this level of Alec
Baldwin. This level, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, he's kind of like, he's a little rougher on the edges, I guess, is how you would say it.
He's very funny. I mean, it's a very, because he does actually, I feel like it's maybe the most realistic performance in the movie because you can tell in his mind, he's like, I'm a nice guy.
Yeah, but he's a douche, exactly.
Can you audios this stuff?
He's like a douche in the nicest way he can imagine being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another funny bit where she's like, oh, he pretends he's room service. And Alec Baldwin is like, oh, yeah, can you take this trash with you? And also, give me some.
Yeah, it was like, can you audios this?
Yeah. Can you audios this? And then he's like, all right, I guess I will. Like, he's committed to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very funny. He asked for cold water because in England, everything is lukewarm.
Yeah.
Apparently.
It's against the law. I don't know if the police are going to come after you.
He gives him a tip, which is very funny.
Yeah.
And
you can tell he thinks he's being a nice guy. He's like, oh, look, I'm just. Yeah. Around, I'm giving him money. I'm a nice guy. Yeah,
to the help.
Yeah, exactly. To the lower class.
Yeah, I'm a nice guy to the help. Yeah, and I can only imagine. Like, you can see Hugh Grant's fucking like shoulders drop, and he's just like the worst feeling that he has ever felt.
Yeah.
He was about to get it in with the most famous fucking girl in the world, and now like his world is just upside down.
Yeah.
Then he's just like, well, that sucked. And then we get the first montage of him dealing with it. But he's still super into her. Like, and it's the difference between the first montage and the second one. In the first montage, he's like watching her movies.
Right.
He's paying attention to everything she's doing. He's super infatuated with it.
Right.
Yeah.
When it happens the second time, he's like walking past her things and he doesn't stop to look at the tabloids. Like, he's moving on from her. And that's, I think, why the ending is not good.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. So, yeah, like you said, this is, he goes to watch her new movie.
Yeah.
Which seems like a crazy thing to do.
Yeah, like it would just hurt. It would hurt a lot. Your fucking heart. Yeah. I mean, he's not in love with her at this point.
He sees beyond the actress and then starts.
They have that.
This is after the dinner. Like, he sees who she really is. Like, and that tells a lot. Like, with that game that they did, it tells a lot of who she is. So he starts seeing her for her.
It's her vulnerability and all that stuff.
Exactly.
But, yeah, he sees her. And it's a whole, it's part of her character. The biggest part of her character is that whole thing where, like, the fame isn't real and all that stuff. And, like, this, that's not who you are. But I do think when you're that famous, the fame is a big deal. You know what I mean? You're not, it's not you anymore. You know what I mean? Like, you're part of it now. You're recognizable everywhere. It's like if you're Shaquille O'Neal, you can't just go shopping in Thailand without anybody, you know what I mean? Like, people knowing. So it's bullshit. Like, saying, like, the fame isn't the real me. Like, the fame is 100%. You and
it's been for a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but actually, I take it back. So this does go. It kind of transfers from at first he's still very much infatuated with her to this is the bit where all of his friends are setting up with dates.
Yeah, that's right. They're trying to get him.
So he has a couple of just atrociously bad dates, which are very funny. And then eventually he has the date, like you said, with
Emily Mortimer.
And where she's very cute and
very cute,
for whatever reason, he is not into.
Yeah, because he's super into the famous chick
that he hasn't seen in 6 months.
That was the whole thing, again, 500 Days of Summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, every relationship I've ever had.
She randomly, like, shows up. Well, it's the tabloid bit.
It's a tabloid bit. So this is a crazy thing that I did also see coming. They find, like, nudes of hers.
Right.
They find nudes of hers, and it's all over. It is, and especially in 99. And
it's happening.
It's exactly. It's a thing that we're dealing with a lot now, which is probably the worst thing if you're that famous that could happen to you. And they did a good job of picking the worst thing.
No offense. You don't have to be that famous. Like, anyone for that to happen, it's the worst thing that could happen.
Yeah, yeah. And now it's still, like,
I mean, so if you want to share my nudes, go for it.
Oh, do not.
Yeah. Oh, out there.
Again, worst thing that could happen. Do not, like, you're miscarrying
me. I didn't say you couldn't. I just said you shouldn't. Yeah, I mean, it's different when you're a guy, though. Like, all my nudes are just all girl and then one arm and one penis.
And one dick.
Yeah. And your stomach.
Yeah. little stomach.
So,
I don't suffer that much if somebody hacks into my phone. But yeah, it's actually, like, genuinely the worst thing that could happen to a girl that happens to her. And then
somebody hacks into my phone, they're just gonna get a lot of videos of me singing. So you're welcome.
Although, so you're welcome.
I do feel like I mean, this didn't happen to Julia Roberts, I don't believe, but there were a lot of stars in the 90s and early 2000s that had done nude work in their early days that then it came out. And I don't feel like it negatively affected them at all.
Like Jennifer Aniston and stuff. But usually those exist all the time.
Right.
You know that.
Yeah.
I think Gina Davis is one where she saw a boyfriend of hers had mailed one of those home pictures to Playboy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, way back. And then it came out when she was famous. Like, oh, yeah, she was in a Playboy. And then it was like
a big deal.
Yeah. This one, it's a little worse, too, because they took video of her without her note. Like, it's a lot.
Yeah.
So what does she do? She goes right to the friend zone guy.
Yep.
He is deep in friend zone at this point.
Yeah.
Her life sucks. And she immediately goes to him for, like, to feel better.
Well, and he's at no point is he like, hey, that was kind of fucked up that you had a boyfriend. He's just like, yeah, stay here. I'm your slave. Do whatever.
I'm super nice. Yeah. He's hard friend zone at this point. Like, he's like a what do they call him? Like a bitch boy or something like that? Where you're just like, yeah. But it's actually, like, a really cute scene. He's, like, helping her practice lines
right
for a summer movie that's awful.
Yeah. And he tells her, like, it's not, I can't remember the writer, because that comes up later too. It's not his work, but you right. know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then he lets her sleep in his bed, and he is going to sleep on the couch. And then yet another hilarious bit where the roommate shows up.
That's right.
Because he gets all excited. It's actually really funny. Yeah. He gets like super excited. You see it in his face because he hears somebody coming.
Stairs, yeah.
yeah. And his roommate is like, hey, maybe, shouldn't one of us be like banging her? Like, she's upstairs, right? Yeah. And it's like, get out of here. It's like, is it cool if I try? Like, it's actually,
yeah. yeah.
He's a fun character.
He's a very
You're
fun
not going to do it.
Yeah. yeah. But then she comes down and then they have a pretty actually sexy scene. I was surprised. Like, it's true, I mean, Robert. All you get is like
that. I thought it was pretty funny because right before that, they had talked about having stunt asses. So I was really expecting there to be an obvious stunt ass scene.
like a Naked Gun style.
Yeah, exactly.
Stunt ass. Yeah.
But no, they just show like her back because they have a whole conversation about nude clauses and stunt butts and all that stuff.
Actually, they talk a lot about Mel Gibson's ass.
Yes, which is funny. Because there was a run where Mel Gibson was just ass out.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
And it's actually like
he does his own stunts,
yes. Yeah.
So I feel like
it's a good, well-written, funny conversation, I think. Because he's like, she's eating ice cream. It's like, oh, it's delicious. And he's like, oh, Mel Gibson's ass? And she's like, the ice cream. But yeah, both. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like Julia Roberts has definitely seen Mel Gibson's ass at some point.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, right?
Then you're that famous. You just, I guess they have sex.
Yeah.
So then they're in love. Now, according to Hugh Grant.
According to the rules of having sex in a movie, they're in love, yes.
Yeah.
And the role reversal, they're in love.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. And it's the exact thing that she needed to help her escape from this horrible thing that she's going through. So it's all friend zone stuff, man. Like if a friend of mine is doing this, I'm gonna be like, dude, you're getting played, man. Don't fall in love now because that shit's gone.
Like, yeah.
yeah. And it's exactly what happens. So then all the paparazzi are there.
Right. So he opens the door. He's like in his underwear or whatever. He hears the ring at the door. It's a million paparazzis. Then he closes the door. She's like, what is it? And he's like, I'm too charming to answer the question.
Yes!
I'm going to do Woody Allen from now on.
How can you not say paparazzi?
Yeah. Yeah, all he has to say is one word, but instead he's just like, I'm fluffy hair, I don't know.
I like the idea that he's too charming to answer the question. Ah, damn you, charming bastard. You could have just said there's paparazzi out there. Yeah. That's it. She opens it in his shirt, which is the universal code for they fuck. Also, like, she makes a comment. He's like, they're out there. And she's like, they saw you like this. And I was like, he looks fucking great.
He was like, wearing a t-shirt and boxers.
He's rocking that fucking t-shirt too. Like, you can see those muscles that you get up here.
You're so in love with him.
It's so funny. I was very taken aback, but I was like, all right, I get it now. He's a very beautiful man. but I was like, no, he looks great. And then the roommate goes out there and gets a bunch of pictures taken, which is what I would
do. His, like, tidy white.
Yeah.
His tidy white.
Yeah.
They're gray.
Tidy gray. He mentions it to himself.
And then what's so good about it is afterwards, he looks in the mirror and he's just like, oh, yeah, I'm looking. And he's, like, sticking out his belly. But he's so enamored with himself. He's like,
this is good. This is pretty good.
His roommate's something.
Yeah. And then
his roommate's definitely something else.
Yeah, he was fucking great. He's got another bit later on that is perfect.
But yeah, then she blows up.
She blows up on him.
And storms out.
Yeah, this is the point where I was like, oh, she's the bad guy.
Yeah.
In this movie, like, your grand is just trying to live life and he has to fight this monster.
Yeah.
Famous person. I mean, all her points they're correct. Like, she's making good points. This is, Hugh Grant tells her, like, this is relatively, like, this isn't a big deal. Like, my friend fell down the stairs and is in a wheelchair. That's a big deal.
Right.
You're making a big deal of anything. And she is like, he's dealt with this.
I mean, he's making the classic mistake that all men make, trying to use logic at a woman. She never worked. Has never worked at
all. Work. Bye, bitches.
Margo out. No, and she makes a very good point. She's like, you've been dealing this with for 10 minutes. I've been dealing with this for my whole life.
Right.
So, like, her
her
perspective
is correct. His perspective is correct, but you shouldn't take it out on him. He didn't do anything.
Yeah.
True. He didn't do anything, but he did though. If you think about it, compare. Yes. Well, what happened to his best friend is super shitty. The fact that she fell and her back and, you know, couldn't walk. That's super shitty. But he's also comparing like apples to oranges and two completely very different situations.
Yes.
And people handle they can only handle their situation and nobody else's. But yeah.
Also, she accuses the roommate of calling the paparazzi and she's correct about that. Sure. He doesn't call the paparazzi, but he calls his friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like she's not wrong.
She's not entirely
wrong. Yeah. Yeah. But she blows up and fucking bounces. And then we get a great, great montage where he's going through the seasons.
Yeah.
Really fucking good.
Yeah, it's very good.
Or like kind of CGI. And it was really good. It's like the market is changing.
Right. Like the market is changing. There's the girl that's pregnant. Then she's there with a baby.
Yeah.
That whole thing. Yeah.
It's actually really good. And it is very good.
Yeah. Maybe that's what the last hour that they cut off was.
it was a montage. So like there was like all the stories of everybody in the market were in there before. And then they had to like.
It was actually not a montage. It was just like part of the movie. But then they made it into a montage.
Yeah. You got to cut a whole hour off.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was really cool early CGI stuff done well. We get a couple of little character moments. We find out that his sister is in love with the roommate guy, which was weird and unnecessary, but yeah, cute.
The way that she does it is so awkward. I've decided I'm getting engaged.
Well, no, she doesn't even put it like that. She puts it like, I've gotten engaged. The guy, you know, and she tells about the guy and stuff, and Hugh Grant's, oh, I've never even met this guy. What's going on? And then she turns to him and is like, it's you.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
And they've clearly never even gone on a date, and she's just married them.
She's like, let's get married to Hugh Grant's roommate.
Yeah. I'm going to try that next time. I'm going to make a big announcement. Yep. And then put a girl on the spot.
That'll work out really well for you. Yeah.
Randomly put a girl on the spot in front of everybody, in front of all of our friends. Yeah. That's like, I do love those videos where somebody proposes. The proposals where the chick is like not feeling it. And you're like, I had to say yes. All of our fucking family was there. Like,
I like the ones where they're like, no.
Yeah. Those are great.
Did you see the last one? The guy wearing a Ben 10 shirt. And then he like, proposes and she says no.
That's on you, man. Don't wear a Ben 10 shirt to the proposal.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. I mean, maybe she's super into Ben 10.
Yeah. That could be it.
Yeah. I'm going to next time leak it. You know how like you're not supposed to tell somebody, but I'm going to make sure that the girl knows that I'm going to propose. And then go to Disneyland and then not propose.
See, I was going to go the other way. And say, just start every first date I go on.
With proposing?
Propose and film it. And get the no's. And then I'm just that guy that has been declined proposals by like 1,000 chicks.
And you keep pounding it up. If you keep posting it up, actually, you would probably get like a lot of followers.
Yeah. Don't steal that.
Or actually, I would leak it. Go to Disneyland, spend all day in Disneyland with the ring clearly in my back pocket so you can see
it. Wear really tight jeans. So it's like the imprint ring pointing out. Yeah.
And then never propose.
Break up on the little train right at the end. Like, the parking lot. You're like, I don't think this is working out.
As the fireworks are going out, by the way, it's not going to happen.
Somewhere
you and me are over.
It'd be cool. Somewhere loud like that. Next
right in the middle of the parade.
Yeah. Right in the middle of the parade so people can see her being like yelling at me, but you can't hear it. Which is one of my favorite things to see.
Kneel down several times to tie your shoe throughout the day.
Yeah,
in like the most beautiful places, but then just get up.
In front of the castle and stuff.
That's good.
And then Eric would be like, that guy's a dick, but I like him.
And if the roles were reversed, that girl's a bitch.
That girl's a hard bitch. So then he finds out that she's there. She's back in England promoting her new movie or whatever. So he decides to go see her because now he's in love with her. Like, right. At this point, he's no longer infatuated. Yeah. He's like in love with her at this point. It's also a good bit when he goes to see her. She sees him and she's like, I'm shooting this movie, but you can hang out and we can talk afterwards because we should talk. And then they give him the fucking... Why did they do that first?
First, exactly. But to me, it's like, why would you do that to her? Oh, she pissed me off in that scene.
She
pissed me off. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, they give him the headphones. They're not in the middle of a scene yet.
Yeah.
And then she's just talking to her co-star.
We're hearing everything together. The other guy treated him like you would a 5-year-old child that's hanging out in the set.
Yep. I mean, yeah. If Julia Roberts showed up with her kid, that's how you would treat that huge grant.
You're like, you want to take a seat, get these headphones, you can hear the actors and stuff. Yeah. And that's what they do. And he sits there and listens. And then he overhears the conversation where she's like, oh, he's just a friend. Doesn't matter. He sucks.
I don't even know why he's here. After you told him to stay there, he was going to leave you.
Yeah. Right.
And also, I mean, she goes, it's a little extreme because later on she's like, I was trying to play it cool because that guy or whatever. But she could have just been like, he's just a friend. He's just visiting, whatever. Instead, she's like, oh, he's nobody. I don't even know why he's here. Yeah. He's a huge inconvenience for me. I wish he wasn't. Yeah. Like, she goes pretty fucking hard.
She goes really hard. All you had to say was like, oh, he's an old friend from college. I don't know.
Yep.
That was really uncalled for. Right there, I lost all my respect for her.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't have any. Yeah.
That's so he... obviously leaves.
Yeah.
Once again, for the 15th time, crushed by her.
Yep.
One more time. And then she shows up to his bookstore in my favorite scene.
Yeah, it's a good scene.
Yeah, which is a really good scene. So this is a scene where she tells him, like, oh, you know, I'm supposed to leave, but maybe I don't leave. Maybe, you know, like, maybe me and you can do a thing. And he's like, the thing is, I'm tired of this fucking shit. Like,
yeah.
Can we point out that visually the roles were reversed? She was wearing all blue and he was wearing a pink shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And then that's where she stands in front of him and does her like grand scene of like, can you just accept that I'm just a girl in front of a boy asking her to love him? I mean, asking him to love her.
Yeah.
And then that right there is like the visual aspect of the roles being reversed. Like,
yeah, you're right.
Yeah, good. Right. Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
Good job. Yeah, that's a good
point. Like, all that film school paid off, Marga.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that because I noticed he was wearing a pink shirt because I was like, he looks great in that pink shirt. I mean, he looked great in it, but I didn't know.
Makes his baby blue eyes just shine.
Just pop. It's great for his skin tone. I'm just saying.
And she's constantly wearing blue.
Yeah, you're right. I actually think that this movie was very well directed. Our direction was good. I think the director did a great job. And even the scene after this, and I want to talk more about the scene, but the scene after this when he's talking to his friends about whether or not he did a good job, it's really well done. There's a lot of camera movement. There's a lot of foreground use that's really, really good for where he is as a character. Like I was like, man, this movie is very well directed. But that's a very good point. I didn't even notice that she's wearing the traditional masculine color and he's wearing the traditional feminine color.
Mm-hmm.
He Scott Pilgrim gets the power of self-respect.
Right.
In this one.
And he tells her like, no, I've had enough of this.
Well, what he says is, you know, when you break up with me or when you leave me, you get to go home. I get to see you on every fucking TV station. I get to see you on every magazine. Like, I have to deal with all that stuff. And it's a good, it's a very good point. Yeah.
It's a very good point.
And she starts to cry and leaves. And it was my favorite part of the movie.
Yep.
Where I was like, yes, correct. That is right.
Yep.
He did it.
Yeah.
And he goes and meets with his friends. And his friends are like, you did the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for you and all that stuff. And then, once again, my favorite character, the fucking roommate, Spike shows up. And he's like, oh, I came as fast as I could. What's going on? He's like, he broke up. He told her no. And he's like, you daft. He's like, really, like, you idiot. Like, he wasn't reading the room right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then he second guesses himself and then he changes his mind, which is the worst part.
Yeah. Because then they have to do the most cliche, like, chase her down at the airport bullshit.
But it's still funny.
It's still pretty funny because the cast is fun. And
yeah, like, all his friends get into one car.
Yeah.
And then, like, the roommate has the redeeming thing where he goes out and stops the traffic for them to be able to get to her.
So, because first they have to go, they go back to the Ritz because they don't have any idea where she is. So they go back to the Ritz, try and track her down, find out she's having a press conference at a different hotel, rush over there. He enters the press conference and it's a pretty funny scene.
If we take it back, one of my favorite scenes was actually when they go to the Ritz. And he's giving her the code name,
the cartoon
thing? Flintstone. Yeah. And then he's like, he just goes and says like all different cartoon names. And then at the end, he's like Butthead or something like that. And then eventually the guy who's already clearly seen him before, the front desk guy, eventually he's like, oh, we don't have anyone by that name or whatever. And then he's like, but a so-and-so, I forget the cartoon.
Pocahontas
checked out. And then that's who tells him that. And then he just goes over and kisses him, like goes over like the little counter area and kisses him. And then there's a random guy who's like, hello, greets him and kisses him and then just asks for something else. Like,
yeah, it's like some random like Japanese tourist. This is what we do in Britain.
Yeah. He's like, I guess this is what you're supposed to do here. Yeah. Do you have any messages for Mr. Yasabi or something like that?
I love that scene. I was like, yes.
Again, it's a sign of like the comedic like leaning and then the screenwriting.
Yeah.
Like you could have just cut out at that scene, but you add a joke in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You throw a funny joke in there.
It's the strong part of this movie is that it's funny.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then they go to her press junket and he has to do again, and I think this is a good point from Eric. He has to do the gesture when it should be the other way around. I mean, she does do the gesture, but she should do like the final gesture, but he has to do it. He has to go and to the press junket, and he finagles his way in by saying, which I thought they were going to go back to the horse and hound.
I did too. Yeah.
Thing. But he finagles his way into the press junket, and then he asks her. They ask her if she's staying, and she's like, "No, I'm leaving right away." And then somebody asks her, "What about that guy that we took a picture with you?" And then he raises his hand, and he's like, "Well, if he changed his mind, and if he begged for you to stay,
yeah." And he like does a lot of self-insulting stuff. He's like, if he realized he had been a daft git and he begged for your forgiveness on both, like, you shouldn't be begging for her forgiveness. Fuck her.
You shouldn't, yeah. I think
all the wrongs, right, is one wrong.
They could have worded that differently, where it could have been like, if maybe you made a mistake and you want to change, and maybe this guy wants to change with you. You know what I mean? Something like that.
It could have been something, or just even, we can grow together. Something. But yeah, just like the at this point, the rush to the airport, the begging, complete lack of any sort of backbone in this character.
This is where it changes back to a typical rom-com. And that's kind of like the weakest point of this movie. But then we get the final montage, which is the other hour that was cut out.
Right.
Which is them in love.
Them in love, getting married, getting pregnant.
They're on that bench.
That is now a thing.
In a very different position. Like a very different area in the park.
Yeah. Also, the park is packed.
Packed park.
There's a packed park. And then that's the end. It's a love story for the ages. About how she was really mean to him, but he stuck it out.
And now I guess he's rich. So happy ending for everyone.
You know, that was my thought at the end. I was like, oh, he doesn't have to worry about
his bookstore anymore.
Yeah. He's rich.
That shows you what character we care about through this whole freaking movie. You're like, whatever, her. But anyway, he's rich now. Yep. Good for him.
Well, the movie is strangely for I mean, like you said, it is the reversal of the typical gender roles. But for a romantic comedy to have the female character, who is by far the biggest star in the movie, but is in so little of it.
Yeah, that's true.
And we get very little of it from her perspective. Like, the only scenes you really get even close to her perspective is the scene where she's telling the story at the dinner, and the scene and the scene where she's, you know, I'm just a girl. Yeah. But even that's really from Hugh Grant's perspective.
Yeah, it's definitely a Hugh Grant show. Like, it's definitely the Hugh Grant show. Yeah.
I would argue that, like, her other scene would be when she opens up to him about, like, when she was poor and she did the nude pictures.
That's her
being, like, her only two scenes are those. And that's because they show vulnerability.
Yes.
So the other one is more so, like, his perspective, because she's like, oh, man.
And like, it's what kind of sets her apart, right? Like, to him, that those, you can tell those, those are the moments. And then the movie does a good job at giving those moments weight.
But it's just, it's a weird thing to have. Because again, if I understand romantic comedies, which I probably don't, the idea is that you're supposed to be rooting for the characters to come together at the end.
Right.
And to never see her in a very, very rarely, at least seeing her in a positive light, makes it hard for that moment to feel earned or worthy in any way.
It's not that you didn't see her in a positive light. It's like that the moments where you were opening up and seeing who she was other than being famous then were shadowed by her acting like a jerk.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Because every time
that's why you don't see them as positive.
Yeah. Right. Every time they have like a really good time and that's happened,
it almost immediately follows by her being
the boyfriend and blowing up on him. Yeah, that's true. That's correct. Yeah.
So that's why you can't see the positive. And basically, I think the way that I see this movie is that the reason why we're not rooting for her is because, like, when you have a best friend, and, like, well, I know for sure as a female, like, if my best friend is dating someone who's a dick to her, and she tells me, like, all the things that he does to her, like, I'm going to hate the guy. Right. And I feel like that's who we were. We were the best friend, and we're seeing our best friend getting, like, jerked around.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
No matter what she does, even if she is good and she does have some good in her, we're not going to see that because you've jerked my friend around. Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, that's a very good point.
I think that's a great point. But, I think it's a weird failure on the movie because I think you could still have her do a lot of the same things, but if you just gave her a little more time to be likable, I think it would have gone a long way.
Yeah.
That's in the movie, but I actually really like this movie. I'd never seen it before.
I just saw it today.
Today was the first time I'd ever seen it, and I was like, man, this movie's way better than I thought it was going to be, and way funnier than I thought it was going to be. And the ending, I think, was the weakest point. Because I would have liked for him to just end up with Emily Mortimer, like we talked about.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been nice. And you know, if we would have had like a, almost like a La La Land ending where we jump ahead and then he just sees her. Sees her somewhere else. And they just have like a, oh, remember we had a moment together.
But I think this was kind of before they started doing those twists on
500 Days of Summer, La La Land.
Yeah, exactly. Eternal. Yeah, romantic, anti-rom-com. Now we get to a segment where we fix this movie.
We do get to that, but real quick. Ooh. So according to the internet, and the internet is always right, the original plan for this movie was that the character that becomes the sister was originally going to be just a worker at a store across the way, and it was going to be like a love triangle in which Hugh Grant eventually went for the regular girl over the star actor.
Which makes sense
with a lot of the rest of the movie. Yeah,
her character would make more sense that way.
Because then
she 100% is a bad
guy. Is the villain, and you're totally rooting for the normal girl.
Exactly.
And I don't know at what point it changed. Maybe it's when they got Julia Roberts.
Probably when they got Julia. We didn't talk about the great bit where his employee is like, "I loved you in Ghost."
Oh yeah,
that's really funny. Yeah. He's like,
that was Demi Moore.
Yeah, yeah. He keeps thinking himself worse.
What is Patrick Swayze like? Yeah. I always wonder. Is he a nice guy?
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
All right, so listen.
So let's get down to what you all came to the podcast for. How do we fix this movie?
I mean, I would like more Eric Roberts, like I said. So maybe if we can have Eric Roberts playing a mobster in it somewhere.
I mean, that's all he plays. So
yeah.
I agree that he will be playing an English mobster with no accent.
No accent because he's Eric
Roberts. Yeah, because he's Eric Roberts. And he does not do accent works.
No. And then the bookstore is just a front.
Oh, there we go. So it's like a drop scenario.
Yeah.
So Hugh Grant's tied into the mob that's Eric Roberts, famous British mobster.
Yes.
Is he at all related to Julia?
Or no, of course
it's not. Completely separate.
He clearly just got the gig because Julia Roberts is his sister. And, that's how he became an actor.
Does he end up breaking Hugh Grant's like arm, and then Julia Roberts has to nurse him back to health?
So now it's like they accidentally kill Eric Roberts, and now they have to like run away.
Oh, that's a classic good stuff. Yeah.
They have to Slim and Queen and Slim.
Yeah. Bonnie and Clyde. Yeah. Only more yeah. Recognizable reference.
No, Queen and Slim now. That's fine. What's this Bonnie and Clyde situation you're talking about? Well, this is for the kids. Kids listen to our podcast, right?
That's true. We got to keep it young and fresh.
We got to keep it young and fresh. We got to
keep it fly, as the kids say.
Yeah.
Which is why we're doing 1990s.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. When we're doing 1999 movies.
Well, I mean, it is the fashion trend right now.
Yeah. Is it really? Because
skinny jeans are out.
The fashion in this movie is terrible.
We're not talking about British fashion. We're talking about like grunge.
Okay.
There's no grunge in Notting Hill.
Actually, the soundtrack is really good in this movie. That's the other thing that I was like, man, the songs that they're picking for this movie are all, I mean, really solid songs.
They're good songs. I mean, they're very on point. They're very on the nose.
I don't remember them.
I was the only one. I shouldn't watch movies super high anymore.
That's the only way you should watch them.
It's the best movie I ever fucking seen.
Watch it sober. You're like, what did I say in this podcast?
I like it when you do that, when you like watch something when you're high or drunk, and then you're like super recommend it or watch it again with somebody, and you're like, this is fucking great. And then you're like, this is terrible.
That's terrible, yeah.
Yeah. Not, Muppets in Space is not the best.
I don't do that anymore because I figure out the plots to movies.
Oh, yeah?
When you're high?
Yes.
Only when you're high?
I figure out what's going to... I don't know why. I feel like everything slows down and I figure out the plot.
You go into that Sherlock Holmes mode?
Yeah.
See the graphs? Yeah. Moving around in front of you. Yeah.
Moving equations about and stuff. You're just watching, like, the fucking, like, SpongeBob movie. You're like, I'm going to figure this out.
Wait, Patrick lives in under
the
house. Yeah. He has the patties and...
I keep telling you, there's no twist.
I did, however, have to restart the movie. Like, I watched the first half of, like, Notting Hill, but then I, like, passed out. But that was just because I had to take, like, pain medication. And then I had to, like, restart it. And then I was like, oh, okay. So it's like I watched it 1.5 times, you guys.
Well, I apologize for your pain.
I like this movie. I did do that with the Godzilla, so now I'm thinking maybe a Godzilla in this movie.
Godzilla! Oh, there you go. Like,
Godzilla and King Kong is coming out, right? What if?
Yeah.
What if
that's a rom-com?
It's a rom-com, yeah. What if it's just like Godzilla has a bookstore?
Godzilla's just a very cute Japanese man with a bookstore.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a little insecure.
Yeah.
He's like, I got this big tail. And actually, it's not very...
It would probably be the other way around, right? Like, King Kong would have the bookstore, and Godzilla is, like, famous. Because in the Godzilla movies, everybody knows about Godzilla, but nobody knows about King Kong.
Oh, in the new Godzilla.
Oh, yeah.
New
Godzilla. A little reversal.
Yeah. See, so then Godzilla would be the famous chick. So and then King Kong owns a bookstore.
Yeah. So last time we saw King Kong in the new timeline, he was living on an island. So he's new to New York. He's never been there before. London, wherever we want to set this. It's got to be one of those two towns, right?
Yep.
So he's just befuddled by everything that's going on.
He's got a bookstore in Brooklyn or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's wearing glasses now. He's got a cardigan sweater.
Instead of a travel book, it's just like monkey books.
Yes.
He's just got all monkey books. That's it.
All primates.
The monkey bookstore.
Yeah. Godzilla shows up.
Who plays Godzilla's gay best friend?
Oh, Mothra?
Mothra.
I would like this movie to happen where we see the perspective of like Godzilla and King Kong falling in love and they go through the whole thing, and at the end it's just people like running for their lives. And the whole time they've just been smashing a city.
That's good.
Oh, it's great.
It's like one of those things. Like, you remember in the old
King Kong holds on to like Godzilla and they climb like the biggest.
Together. The skyscraper.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. Yeah. But it's like, love. Yeah, because love. It's like the old martial arts movies where they would just be standing there, but then a whole scene would play of them fighting, but they're still standing there. It's just all in their minds.
Yeah, exactly. They're just,
Only this time, instead of fighting, it's a beautiful love story.
They're in love.
Yeah.
They do not fight. This is the best way. It is the only way.
I mean, they fight, but in a sexual, kind of hot way.
Yeah. Also, we can see King Kong's like a weird monkey penis.
Yeah,
you know, he's naked. He's not. He doesn't have any clothes on.
Wasn't this movie PG-13? So we should keep it PG-13.
That's true. That's true.
Well, yeah, that's cool. And apparently they cut out a scene where she was cussing and
in the rooftop.
Yeah.
So because we know Son of Godzilla has to happen somehow.
That's true.
So also, and if King Kong doesn't want to show ass, we can get a stunt ass.
Yeah, we already learned that from this movie.
From this movie.
Also, Son of Godzilla kind of looks like a half monkey, half lizard man. So perfect.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. So we fix this movie now.
We fix this movie. That's the end of the podcast. We're going to be back.
I do. Before we jump ahead, I do. Me and Margo are working on another podcast called Tucson Heat. It's a scripted podcast that you can listen to also on Apple and Spotify and all that stuff. Margo does voice work for it. I do writing and editing for it. So that's the only things we want to plug this episode.
All right.
Until next time, then. Thank you so much, Margo.
Thank you, Margo, for being here.
Thank you, guys.
It was a lot of fun.
I had a lot of fun. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much. We'll definitely have you back. We will see you soon. Until next week, I'm E.G. Sykes.
I'm Francisco Landin.
And I'm Margo Barrera.
Wishing you a good night.
And a good journey.
Night. We love you.